Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It is good to see you all tonight. I want to remind you again about the return. It's coming this Saturday. They're going to do something Friday night, but the main event is Saturday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've passed out two packets of information for you about that. There's also information on the website. And we want to encourage you to participate in that. The body of Christ is trying to wage the war that God has called them forth to wage in this hour against the forces of darkness. And we need to be unified in one mind and one accord, working together with other members of the body of Christ. And this is a time and a season where this needs to take place more and more. Because it's not about your denomination. It's not about your church. It is all about the body of Christ. And when these events are put together, sometimes there's a lack of participation because I'm not the one doing it. And you can't see me from my bedroom or you can't see me from my pulpit. We need to put all of that kind of stuff aside and participate. There's going to be a lot of different prayers that are going to be done. Praise and worship, and I'm pretty sure some speaking that will edify and lift you up and build you up in Christ. But the most important thing is God is looking. He has his angels going throughout the earth, seeing who is for him in this hour. And this is going to be one of the ways that he uses to get, test, and guide, engage what's going on in this hour. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you placed inside to be given to your people tonight. I thank you for the anointing. I ask, Father, that you would increase it. I thank you for all of the things that you've been doing, bringing us closer and deeper in you. And Father, I thank you that you're doing this to help us sustain and to walk and to be all that you want us to be in this hour so that we can lead people out of the darkness that is here. And we pray, Father, for a release of the angelic host in this house. We pray that the angelic host would go forth and do the works that you want them to do. Release the healings, release the restorations, release the finances that need to be released. Everything that you've charged your angels to do for us in this hour, we release them. We release them out into the atmosphere, over the internet. We thank you, Father God, that the second heaven resistance is being torn down by the warrior angels that you sent forth now. And this word will go forth and touch the hearts that you've ordained for it to touch. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to start out with some lyrics to a song that hit my spirit this week. The lyrics go as this. I've been changed. Healed. It's not on the notes. Freed. Delivered. These are some things that we all have gone through. I found joy. I found peace. I found grace. And I found favor. And that all comes in Christ. I've been changed in the presence of the Lord. I've been healed, freed, delivered. It's a constant thing that God has been doing. In your presence, Lord, I found joy, peace, grace, and favor. Right now is the moment today. Right now. Today is the day that I've been changed. I've been changed, and I have waited for this moment to come. And I won't let it pass me by. Is this the cry of your heart in this hour? Are you going to let this moment pass you by? I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. I can't. Because of what God has done for me, because of what God has done in me, it doesn't matter the stuff that's going on right now. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It doesn't matter what people are doing to you. The presence of the Lord has been inside of me, and I know that I'm different. And I know you all feel the same way about that. It's hard. And this message tonight is geared towards the remnant, and it's geared towards those people who've been in a hard place. And I'm praying that God touches your heart tonight and that you really get this in your spirit and receive the encouragement that the Lord is sending to you. Okay, the notes. I know tonight that I'm talking to the remnant. I'm talking to those who have been in it. You've been in the fight, and there is nothing but blood and guts all around you. You see it. You feel it. You're watching your loved ones die. You're watching your friends walk away. They're walking away from you because they don't want to hear what God has placed inside of your spirit to tell them. They're resistant to it. You're watching people who should be solid in the faith turn and walk completely away from God. Here's the thing. They used to be sold out to him, but they've backed up. They've let the pressures of this life, the pressures of this world, push them and cause them to forget the thing, the lyrics that was in that song. They forgot that they were saved. They forgot that they were delivered. They forgot that they were in the presence of the Lord. And you can't forget that. When you get in that moment and in that place, you got to remember that, because that's what it's all about. This is what we're taking to the streets. This is what we're taking to those who are bound and can't get out. They need you. They need you to stay in the fight. They need you to continue to endure. They need you no matter what, no matter who falls on your left and on your right, for you to persevere and to continue on. Because the truth is, there's no one else that God can send but you. There really isn't. People are turning away from the faith right now by the thousands. And this is not just lay leaders and people sitting in the pews. This is pastors who've been in it forever. They're walking away from God because it's too hard. I'm talking to you tonight, remnant, because God wants to encourage you. And here's the encouragement. There's no help coming. There's no help coming. There is no one who will stand by your side. And now you start to wonder what is really going on. Did you miss it? Did you not hear God's voice? Did you make a mistake? But it's at this moment that the anointing hits you. It's at this moment that all of your resources are gone and you feel God's presence start to build inside of you. You still don't really have a confidence in yourself. You don't have a surety in yourself, but you just know, I can't go back. I can't go back to the stuff that I used to do. I can't live in religion like I used to live because I've had the presence of God and I'm not satisfied with religion. It's dead. It produces nothing. It has no life in it whatsoever. Come on, remnant. A new determination rises, and you say this to God. You say it to God. You say it to yourself, and then you keep on going. And as you've heard Pastor Barber say, you're going to have your moments of fits. You're going to have your moments of, I don't want to do this. But you still have to buckle yourself down and keep going. You have to let that anointing that God's placed inside of you rise to the surface and then walk in it. And do the things that God is asking you to do. God wants to encourage you, remnant. It's not over. It's not. You're going to have to keep fighting. You're going to have to. If you don't fight, no one's coming in to fight for you. If you don't fight, no one's coming in to get the enemy off of you. You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to fight the enemy. God is going to be there with you. He's going to be there as you stick your sword in to guide it so that it hits the target. But if you're not aiming the sword, what does God have to use? He needs a body. He needs a body. He can't work through air. He can, but he chooses to work through people. He's choosing to work through you. God wants to encourage you, remnant. The victory is yours. It's yours. And I want you to see this in the spirit realm. The victory is yours. I am here to remind you, remnant, that God is with you. Even though you feel like you're alone, you're not. You have angels that are right there fighting with you, and nothing will stop them from being with you. Over and over and over again in the past, God has told us we have to use our angels. Now is the time. Now is the time to start commanding them and start speaking to them and putting them on assignments. You can't be everywhere at once, but God can send your angels to do things for you. Remnant, you need to know the truth. The truth is that this battle is not over. It's just beginning. This is where the hard part of the fight comes. This is it right here. And the sooner you stop looking for someone to come and rescue you, to baby you, to pity you, the sooner that you realize that you can do this. And I'm not saying this from a prideful place, and you guys are not prideful, but God is trying to get us to see that he's placed an anointing, a strength inside of us to be able to fight this battle. You were born for this season. You didn't pick the time that you came here. Sorry, you chose the time that you came here before you came into heaven. But God ordained it so that you would be here in this season because he knew the strengths that you have. He knows the weaknesses that you have. And he knows that you are going to accomplish the mission that he set out for you to accomplish. It's not impossible. There is going to be more blood spilled. It just is. This is war. This is what war is all about. There is going to be more loss of life. You are going to lose friends. You are going to lose people that you thought were deep in the spirit. And they're going to be exposed by the enemy because he's going to come and show you what they really are not. And this is not putting them down. But this is to cause you to see how deep you have to be in him, how close you have to be to him. That last song that we sang for praise and worship tonight, I Need You. Beautiful song. The lyrics should have went all the way down on the inside, all the way down on the inside, and lifted you high into the third heavens. Because it's the truth. If we don't have God, we're not going to be able to finish this fight. We're not going to be able to finish this war. There is going to be more who will walk away from the faith. You cannot let that stop you. You can't. The Bible said that this is what was going to happen. And it's happening. Every step of the way, everything the Bible has prophesied is coming to pass. It said there was going to be a great falling away in the end times. It's happening. It said it was going to be false prophets, false teachers. It's happening. And people are teaching things that are not in the Bible. People are teaching things that are not the truth. And amazingly, people are following it. They're following it because they want to. They don't want to dig in and get into this fight. They want to be in some fantasy island world that doesn't exist. And it's not going to last. You cannot let that stop you. You cannot let that keep you from doing what you promised God you would do. It's real, but the enemy is using witchcraft against you. This witchcraft comes in a form that at times is so heavy and overwhelming that you just want to end it. You just want it to end. This witchcraft is coming from those who are in complete rebellion to God. You must know that this started a long time ago. It is the same rebellion that is in the enemy and that has fueled the enemy's wrath and rage against God from the very beginning of time. It's not a new rebellion. It's the very same thing. This witchcraft is very dangerous because it's spreading into the people of God. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 3 to 7. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants, Nephilim, fallen or mighty ones, on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." God saw that the wickedness of man was great and that every intent of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. Look at what's going on in Delaware. There are women who are turning up missing. They haven't found them. They don't know where they're at. Sure, they may have run away from their families because of whatever the problems were that they were having, but someone has snatched them up and they're gone. This is evil that is taking place right in our own state. The sex trafficking rings that they've broken up in the state of Delaware, evil that's going on right in our own states. Was it Backpage.com? The internet site that went around the entire world out of the state of Delaware was recently shut down, I think within the last couple of years. The evil is growing. We have to rise in the anointing. And we have to realize that this fight is what it is. It's a fight. Listen at what the commentator Matthew Henry said about this same chapter and verse. It said, "Their wickedness was great. That is, abundance of sin was committed in all places by all sorts of people, and such sin as was in its own nature most gross and heinous and provoking. It was committed daringly and with a defiance of heaven. Nor was any care taken by those that had power in their hands to restrain and punish it." This is how bad it was. This is how bad Matthew Henry saw it and commentated on it. "Now the level of evil upon the earth grew to such a state that God said he was going to destroy it." Remnant, you need to understand that this is the atmosphere in which we're working. It's not going to go away. It's not going to get better. We're not going to go back into the sweet by and by glory times that you used to be in. It's going to get thicker and darker and darker and darker. But see, the anointing inside of you is also going to increase. But you have to learn how to use that anointing, flow in that anointing, so that that darkness does not touch you, so that that darkness does not overtake you. But if you don't, the outside pressures from the world will crush you. And this is what's happening right now to the body of Christ. But the remnant is not so, because we have the victory. We have the victory because we have a connection with the Most High God. And that connection is what's keeping us from falling. If you lose that connection, if you lose that attachment to the vine, Jesus Christ, the vine dresser, God the Father, you've lost. Everything that we've been telling you, Pastor Barbara's been telling you right now about staying close to God, staying in the Spirit, it's for a reason. We're not saying it because it sounds nice. It's a nice Christian lingo thing to do. We're saying it because we're trying to protect you. We're saying it because we're trying to keep you safe from these dark and evil times. Look around at the people who have fallen away that you know and love. There's a chance that they may never come back. Have you ever thought about that? They may never come back. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. There's a lot of people right now who are saying, "Not now, God. I want to do this, that, or the other." You're being stubborn. You're turning yourself into rebellion, which is the same as witchcraft. According to the prophet Samuel, who spoke these words to King Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The mindsets of the world have crept into the church. They are mindsets that are geared towards rebellion. Remnant, you must understand that this fight with rebellion started a long time ago in heaven with Satan. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 to 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven horns, seven heads and 10 horns, seven diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is a picture of Satan. This is a picture of Satan and the angels that fell with him when God kicked them out of heaven because of their rebellion. This is what's going on. This is who we're fighting against. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15, and this is going to tell you why Satan fell. This is going to tell you what he did to provoke God's wrath and anger for him to kick him out of heaven. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who are weakened, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Do you see each level of progression? Satan kept saying he was going to be higher in this area, higher in this area. And finally it reached to the point where he said he was going to be like God. This is not from the position of, you know, you love God with all of your heart and you're trying to serve him so that you're going to follow him and you're going to do what he's asking you to do. No, this is, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how to lead. You don't know how to rule. So I'm going to come and take over your throne. I'm kicking against your authority. I'm pushing against everything that you say is right. What's going on in the church? The pastor can't tell you anything because they're afraid of being offending you. What's going on in the church right now? I have a deeper anointing than you. I know more than you, so I'm going to do it my way. It's rebellion. It's rebellion that's turned into witchcraft. So what atmosphere is in some of the churches? This heaviness, this darkness. In Remnant, you're going to have to fight against it because it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere because the hearts of the people are not right. And because the hearts of the people are not right, you have to have the anointing inside of you so strong that it overpowers this darkness that's coming. this darkness that's here. Satan asserted his will against the Father, and he and everyone who was following Satan were cast out of heaven. We read that in the Revelation scripture. If sins have been committed in an area and not repented of, that ground becomes contaminated and Satan moves in to take over that area. How do you think Delaware can produce, have the webpage backpage.com if there was not sin in this area? I don't know if you remember at one point in time, but there used to be pornography shops all over Delaware. They're still here, but it started somewhere. At one point in time, Delaware committed the most abortions. People were driving from different states around Delaware to come here to get an abortion. So all of that darkness has been sown into the ground of Delaware. Is it any wonder we have such a hard time with church, with churches getting together? We've heard different people say that I've called such and such church because we want to get together and we want to bind together in unity, and the churches don't call each other back. It's stupid. It's a religious spirit where we can't work together with one another. And the devil knows doing this, we're divided. And because we're divided, he's running all over Delaware. We don't think about this because you have to preach my way when you come to my pulpit, or you have to come to my service and then I'll talk to you. Pastors are doing this instead of just reaching out on the phone saying, hey, we want to come together in unity. You know what was said about the COVID-19 experience? None of the churches would come together. And when they did come together, the churches had already been shut down. It was weeks before the churches could come together and say, hey, we don't think it's right that we're being pushed out. Because nobody would get in line. Nobody would get in unity with each other and say, all right, I'm going to submit my authority and just put it down to the side so that we can come together and fight the government that's fighting against the churches. It shouldn't have took 4 months for this to take place. It shouldn't have took 4 months for a lawsuit to be filed against the state of Delaware for them to back off the churches. It should have been an immediate thing. This is how much darkness is in the churches that has to be eradicated out. We have returned to times similar as those in Genesis 6. We don't see the giants or the Nephilim, but they are active along with the other demon spirits, and they are bringing their rebellion into the earth realm. And this is where people get tricked because they're looking for an actual giant figure. But in the spirit realm, these Nephilim are walking around. They're walking around. They're doing their dirt. They're doing the things that they've been ordained to do. I want to read you something from the book of Enoch. And I want to be very clear about this. The book of Enoch is not in the Bible. It is not the Bible. I'm not saying that this is Bible, so don't say that I say that. The book of Enoch is quoted in the book of Jude. It was not considered to be inspired by God, but many of the early church fathers read it. This is not accepted as scripture, but I want to read this because I want you to see what possibly is going on in the spirit realm. This is the book of Enoch out of chapter 15. And he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice, "Fear not, Enoch, you righteous man and scribe of righteousness. Approach hither and hear my voice, and go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent you to intercede for them. You should intercede for men and not for men." Now, some people would say that this is mistranslated, but the sons of God were called men and the sons of God were called angels. So there's something there. But at this point in time, Enoch was interceding for the watchers who had fell, but God was telling him that he should change his intercession, not for the men that fell, but the man themselves, us. "For you, wherefore have you left the high, holy, and eternal heaven and lain with women, and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken to yourselves wives, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons. And though you were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten children with the blood of flesh, and as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also do who die and perish. Therefore have I given them wives, also, that they might impregnate them and beget children by them, and thus nothing might be wanting to them on the earth. But you were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life and immortal for all generations of the world. And therefore I have not appointed wives for you, for as for the spiritual ones of the heaven, in heaven is their dwelling. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth. And on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men and from the holy watchers, is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven, in heaven shall be their dwelling. But as for the spirits of the earth, which were born upon the earth, on earth shall be their dwelling. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. Interesting. Absolutely interesting that this is recorded in this book. Let's read some more, because I found this very interesting. From the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits, having gone forth, shall destroy without incurring judgment, thus shall they destroy until the day of the consummation. So what this is talking about is, when the floods came, the giants were wiped off the earth. So from that point up until the consummation, what the consummation is the second coming of Jesus Christ. So from there until the second coming of Jesus Christ, the great judgment in which the age shall be consummated over the watchers and the godless, you shall be wholly consummated. And now as to the watchers who have sent you to intercede for them, who had been afore in time in heaven, say to them, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you, and you knew worthless ones, and these in the hardness of your hearts you have made known to the women. And through these mysteries, women and men work much evil on the earth. So there's a cause, there's a source for the rebellion, the evil. It's inherent in men, but the Nephilim, the watchers, the evil spirits are making it worse. It's getting darker and darker and darker, just like it was in Genesis 6. We're reaching those time periods again where God is going to destroy the earth another time. Put this into your spirit, man. And again, I'm saying this is not the Bible, but I just thought it was very interesting to read. It's not even historical, because they don't believe it's historical, but it's just something interesting that is in this book of Enoch. And if you really put it together, it kind of explains some things that are happening right now. And it explains where this evil is coming from. I want you, remnant, to understand that your fight is real. It's not made up. You're not imagining this fight. It's real. The rebellion in people is real. And it comes from a long tradition of sin. This is how powerful rebellion is. This is how the pull of the enemy is in the heart of some people in the church. Remnant, there are some people that you will not be able to save. You've got to know this right now. You're not going to be able to save them. You have to focus on what God has called you to do and then move on. It's not your job to save them. If this rebellion is so strong that a third of the angels fell with Satan, you have to realize that for some people, there is nothing that you can do. It's out of your hands. These angels were in heaven with God, and they decided to leave God on their own. On their own. We have people here living on this earth in an unanointed atmosphere, and they make the decision to leave God. But think about this. The angels were in heaven with God, and they decided to leave. That's how strong this rebellion is. Some people are going to miss what God is doing in the end time hour. You cannot take the time to mourn for them. You've got to move on. I want to read Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 7. This is a very, very important story in the Bible. And this talks about Nadab and Abihu. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which the Lord had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who came near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace, kept his mouth shut. Verse 4, then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp. They were dead. As Moses had said, and Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. Why did God tell Aaron not to mourn his sons? He told him not to mourn his sons because they were doing wrong. They were carrying profane fire before the Lord, and the Lord smote them. The thing about this story is, there's many people in the church that are carrying profane fire, and it's just a matter of time before God smites them down. And when this happens, when they get separated, your instruction as remnant is to do the same thing. Don't even mourn them. What should be mourned is their profane fire. We should have such a zeal for holiness. We should have such a zeal for righteousness that this should be our main calling. Not to be worrying about those who are carrying profane fire, because God is going to get them. Remnant, I want you to understand the hour that we are in, because some of the people who are working for the Lord are not really working for the Lord. Look at what Moses said to Aaron. Nadab and Abihu were working in the Lord's house and did not regard the Lord as holy. They were in rebellion towards God. What did we just read about the angels with Enoch? The angels were in rebellion. They did not regard the Lord as holy. That rebellion showed up in their offering. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put the fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Remnant, you need to understand that we have people who are hiding in the house of God, working for various reasons. They are not really serving the Lord with all of their heart. You have to know that God sees this and God knows what they're doing. Some of these people are living on borrowed time. They really are, in a lot of ways, already dead. They are dead because, in one sense, they think that God does not see into the depth of their heart. They can fool the pastor, the prophet, the elders, etc., but the Spirit of God knows who is really serving him. Remnant people, you know what's going on. and you know who really isn't serving God. You don't have to be concerned about these people, because at the appropriate time, they're going to be used as a sign and a wonder for the rest of the body of Christ. Nadab and Abihu were used to bring the fear of the Lord back into God's house. What's not being talked about right now is that there are some churches out there who have lost a lot of people to COVID-19. Churches. Was it because some of these people were offering strange fire before God? I don't know. But there's a lot that has happened, and it's happened in the black community. There's a lot of black leaders who have succumbed to COVID-19. Is it because they were offering strange fire before God and God said enough's enough? Only God knows. Now, not all of them died because of this strange fire, because the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But what about those pastors, prophets, leaders, etc., who are on camera making bold proclamations for the Lord, but they were not right with God and God took them out? It's been prophesied a long time ago that people are going to start dropping dead in the pulpits. And it's happening. And I don't think the church realizes that this thing has already started. I'm still talking to the remnant, because you understand that this is how God works. God told Aaron, don't mourn for your sons. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die in wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Do you see this? I'm not making this up, remnant. Do you see what the problem is? The problem was that they offended the Spirit of God by their rebellion, and that rebellion provoked God to action. You can look this scripture up. I'm not going to read it tonight. Deuteronomy 32, verses 20 to 22. And it talks about what happens when you provoke God. Remnant, you need to understand this and be free to serve the Lord with all of your might. There's another scripture that you can look up later, because this talks about what happens to you when you become a reprobate mind. When you get so hard-hearted against the things of God and you start rebelling so much and so deep, God turns you over to this reprobate mind and he lets you go. He just lets you go. If you want to do your thing, by all means, go do it. It's not that God can't forgive you. It's not that God doesn't love you. He's not going to fight with you. He's not going to go against your will. He's going to let you do your own thing. And then there's another scripture, and I didn't bring that out tonight because I knew I wasn't going to have time, but it talks about he allows you to get into your strong delusion, and your strong delusion gets stronger and stronger and stronger to the place where nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can tell you that the sky is blue, because you wouldn't believe it, because the delusion is so strong inside of your mind and inside of your heart that the truth just will not set in. It will not come in to your heart. This isn't God doing this. This isn't God saying, I'm going to harden his heart. This is you. This is the person. So remnant, you need to understand that you're going to see these types of people. Move on. Don't get caught up. Don't try to make them do something that they're not going to do. It's time out for all of that. We're going to go down to John chapter 12. In closing, John chapter 12, verse 27 to 36. I want to close with this scripture because some in the church do not have discernment, and you desperately need discernment. They don't have the discernment to tell what is the voice of God from the voice of Satan. And I want to show you this because this is very important right now. Because God is definitely speaking to his remnant and he's telling him what he's doing. But the same message that he's speaking to the remnant, just like right now, there's people who are listening at this message on the internet and they're like, I don't know what he's talking about. It doesn't make any sense. So let's look at this scripture here, and I'm going to explain. John chapter 12, verse 27 to 36. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. So you see that? There was an actual voice from God. And those who were in the spirit heard what God said. Those who weren't in the spirit said that it thundered. Those who weren't in the spirit said it sounded like voices of angels. There's going to be times God is speaking directly to everybody, but it's a message just for you, and you're going to be the only one that perceives it. And you're going to have to be bold enough to run with it. You're going to have to be bold enough and in the spirit enough to know this, that wasn't Satan telling me to do this. This was the spirit of God, and then go with it. And remnant, because you're, all of us are in places where we're by ourselves. We're in our fields. We're in our areas that God has ordained for us to harvest and to minister into. You're not going to have time to pick up the phone and say, I need a prophetic word. What is God telling me? Because that person wasn't there. They didn't hear that voice speaking to you, telling you what needs to be done. And this is where the church has got to start growing up. This is where the church has got to start growing up. And start hearing and discerning the voice of God for yourself. Because if not, you're going to miss that opportunity that God has placed before you. You're going to miss the encouragement. This had to be very encouraging to Jesus to hear this. How many opportunities or how many words of encouragement from God have you missed because you didn't discern that it was God talking to you? Lost my place. Verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Do you understand that? A little while longer, the light's going to be here, and then it's going to be completely dark. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. There's coming a time and the remnant's going to be out of here. But those who are left are going to be in this darkness and there's not going to be any light. It's coming. It's coming fast and it's coming quick. Remnant, I want this to help you. People who are not close to God are not hearing his voice. Stop listening to them. Stop listening to them. Stop giving them credit. Stop saying, well, this is, you know, out of respect, I want to hear what you got to say. Stop it. Stop it. Don't be confused by this, and don't let this shake you either. Some people are just not going to hear. They're just not going to. I want to close with the prophetic word. It's time for my peoples to burn all the bridges behind them and march forward into their destiny in me. The cesspools of this world are getting deeper, and many of my children are being drowned in them. I made a way of escape for them, but they are using that bridge and running back into the cesspool. I never intended for you to stay in the muck and mire of life. I intended for you to dwell in heavenly places with me. If you are content to sin in feces and urine, there is nothing that I can do to stop that. But will you listen at my heart beckoning to you once again? What do I have to do to convince you that I am for you and not against you. I have moved heaven and earth to give you the desires of your heart. You cannot stand in that place and expect for me to bless you. You must move. You must strive forward in me. I have been there. I cannot promise you that I will continue to be there. You must see that the battle for your soul and the souls of those that I have called is intensifying. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm working to change your heart so that it will forever beat after me. I desire that you love me as much as I love you. I will not make you love me. I will love you for all of eternity. But will you be with me in heaven, or will you make your home in hell? You have to burn those bridges now. The deception that is coming is getting stronger and stronger, and the enemy is deceiving the very elect right now. He has pulled out all the stops, and he is devouring many at this given time, because will not keep their eyes, because they will not keep their eyes focused on me. They will not believe me and trust me with their very souls. My soul weeps over them, but I will not make them serve me. You have to be committed to me with every part of your being. The altar call tonight is for you to burn that last bridge and to move on. It's time to burn it down, and just run. Run with everything on the inside of you for Christ, towards Christ, so that you can serve him. You got to forget about everybody. You got to forget about those people who are telling you don't know what you're talking about. You got to forget about those people who are telling you that you're too deep, and it's time to run. The altar's open for you to come and to burn that bridge once and for all.